Shavuot Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my inspiring soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And back at you, sweetie. And to those joining us tonight, we pray you will be blessed as we revisit the Feast of Pentecost, which is celebrated on June 5th this year, 2022. Let's open in adoration of our Lord, who blessed us with His Holy Spirit.
We do adore You, O Lord, God Almighty, and we know Your Trinity resides within us. Let us be forever mindful of this miraculous indwelling as a gift of our salvation that protects us from evil and supplies all our needs. May tonight's message be a blessing to you all. We ask that you hear your servant's prayers, especially for the salvation of all our loved ones. May their veil of darkness be lifted, as we pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. That was awesome and reminds me of this scripture that actually does say, the Son, the Lord, and the Father is in us all. I think we should open with that scripture written by Paul to the bride of Christ in Ephesians 4, verse 4.
There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
That is a great way to begin tonight's message, because we will talk about Pentecost and the wonderful abiding of the Holy Spirit, that comforter that teaches us all things. As Jesus spoke in John 14, verse 26. Honey, could you read that?
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things.
All things.
And bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you.
So, the Father lives in us too, and the Holy Spirit will teach us all things, which, when He said no one knows the day or the hour, He was giving more attention to the Jews, focusing more on the Messiah King. And unless they accept Jesus, will not have the Holy Spirit. So the books of Matthew and Mark did more so concentrate on the Jews first.
And Luke focused more on the Romans.
Right. So presents Jesus as a suffering servant, focusing on His humanity. Where John's gospel focused on the salvation of the bride, who would not go through the tribulation, therefore is the only gospel who never talks about it. But the other three do, in detail. And they really don't speak on the coming of the Holy Spirit to teach us all things, only John, which is why his bride has a deeper insight, because we have the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things.
Oh, yeah, especially when you choose to search for it.
Oh, amen, because the deeper you go, more is revealed to you.
Yeah, and only John was referred to as the beloved disciple.
And now we are his beloved, as stated numerous times from the book of Acts and onward.
And by the way, only one prophet was called God's beloved in the Old Testament.
Yes, your namesake Daniel.
Yeah.
And like Daniel in the lion's den, God has us in the palm of his hand.
Yep, he's got this.
Therefore, John in his gospel presents Jesus as the Son of God, emphasizing his deity. So the early church would use the particular writings associated to whom they were witnessing to at the time. An example, like if today, and you were witnessing to a Jewish person, you would probably start with Matthew and then go to John. You know, when I was first saved, I wondered why God had four gospels that had the same purpose in the end. But now I appreciate and absolutely love their uniqueness.
Amen to that. All right. Before we continue, any news on that global pandemic treaty with the World Health Organization?
Yes, the famous WHO assembly over the weekend.
That's the one.
Well, not a lot, because it just ended yesterday. Except from a foreign reporter, and he quoted the UN's chief Guterres, and here's what the chief said. There is no greater return on investment than health. The COVID pandemic laid bare major deficiencies in the global health system, and countries last year agreed that numerous changes were needed to better prepare the world to face future pandemic threats, close quote. Then the reporter went on and commented that the amendments...
Which, by the way, came mostly from Biden.
Right. Amendments are now being considered as in a set of legally binding international laws governing how countries respond to acute public health risks, with negotiations underway toward a treaty aimed at streamlining the global approach to pandemic preparedness and response. However, experts warn that the reform process, it's kind of moving too slowly.
So they will try to speed her up.
Looks like it. But I also must comment about a report in the World Net Daily yesterday.
You know, this is a bombshell.
Right. Anyway, it says they now have a pill you can swallow that would allow the government to see if you are compliant. Pfizer's CEO, Dr. Boria, well, here's one of his quotes. He said, it is basically a biological chip that is in the tablet. And once you take the tablet and it dissolves into your stomach, it sends a signal that you took the tablet. So, imagine the applications of that, the compliance. The insurance companies would know that the medicines that patients would take if they do take them. It is fascinating what happens, you know, in this field. Close quote. Now, if that doesn't bother you, here's a quote from Hebrew University professor Noah Harari, the top advisor to the World Economic Forum's Klaus Schwab that we talk about a lot.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. Mm-hmm. We need not just to monitor people. We need to monitor what's happening under their skin.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. And he also said in India, he said, now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods. We are acquiring the power to re-engineer life.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now you can go to WND.com to read the whole article yourself. It's so breathtaking, but right on schedule if you get my drift.
Well, we certainly do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so looks like we're going to have to save the information on the monkeypox for next time, as some are saying it's an adverse reaction from the Pfizer shots. And it's actually listed as such on their own page. I think it's page number 2, and they say it an autoimmune blistering disease can occur from the shot. And then there's some that are saying monkeypox is a gain-of-function result as well, but more on that next week.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office. But be sure to leave your detailed message, too, 440-834-9006, and we will call you back. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And yes, we can always use your help for research expenses, equipment, and just to stay on the air. So your love offerings are greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you will find our archived past radio and teaching newsletters, all labeled for your easy access.
It's a plethora of knowledge.
For sure.
All right, then. We have a special Sunday soon coming.
Yes, this year it's on June 5th.
The Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot in Hebrew.
The fourth kept appointment out of seven.
Yes, he literally, in much detail, fulfilled Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and then 50 days later, he sends the Holy Spirit.
On the anniversary of the first Pentecost.
Right, exactly. The giving of their law on Mount Sinai, starting in Exodus 19 and onward. You know, many Christians don't even realize that many centuries earlier, there was an historic day called Pentecost, too, 50 days after the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea.
Written about in Exodus 12:20.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, Penta is Greek and means five, as in 50 days, and also equals 7 weeks. And in Exodus 34:22, this feast is called the Feast of Weeks because it's seven Sabbaths from the Feast of First Fruits of the Barley on the next day.
So always on a Sunday.
And that's according to Scripture, which we'll read in a minute. The day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, is officially considered the birth of the church as a whole.
You can also say the bride of Christ was betrothed.
Mm-hmm. Just like the Hebrews were at Mount Sinai on the first Pentecost, which, as we said, came 50 days after Nisan 17, which was the Red Sea crossing. So, not only are his appointments historical, Jesus himself, literally to the exact dates, fulfills the spring feast and the Feast of Weeks by sending the Holy Spirit to every believer in Jerusalem. And the foreigners were amazed to hear about God in their own language.
Uh-huh.
So back to when the Hebrews left in Exodus, God set them free from Egypt's slavery into a new life. Just as Yeshua's resurrection, also on Nisan 17, frees us from being a slave unto sin,
giving us new life as born-again believers.
Mm-hmm. And as sure as we are proclaiming these fulfilled miracles to you tonight, we can therefore also assuredly know that Jesus will keep his last three appointments scheduled in the fall season.
Some year.
Mm-hmm. That is his promise to us.
And amen to that, sister.
So let's read the passage in Leviticus specifically about Pentecost and the fact that it must always fall on a Sunday. That's in Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16.
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering.
That's the first fruits of the barley in early spring.
Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
The new grain were the first cuttings of the wheat, which began to come in 50 days after the barley. Sadly, today's Israelis do not follow the scripture Sunday rule. They instead count from the day after the holy day of unleavened bread,
which is an extra high Sabbath.
Mm-hmm. But it is very plain. Leviticus 23, verse 11 says, the Feast of First Fruits should always be on a Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. But as we taught when teaching on the spring feast, that day is ignored. So because of that, Pentecost seldom falls on a Sunday as it should. In Israel this year, June 4th, a Saturday, is Pentecost. Now some Jews here in the States do celebrate it for 2 days because they did that during the diaspora. So this year here in America, it's June 4th through the 6th.
Which at least covers a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. So, why do they not follow Scripture and count from the first fruits on a Sunday? Well, some say perhaps it's because Christians claim that first fruits is the day of Christ's resurrection, and they would rather distance themselves from that declaration. And so, it became tradition instead to count from unleavened bread. Okay, moving on now. Verse 17 gives us more details about Pentecost in Leviticus 23.
Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah.
And that's about a gallon of grain.
They shall be of finely sifted wheat flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
Now by this time, the end of May or early June, the first outings of the wheat is coming in and continues till the end of fall when it is harvested. Now the typical question is, why now could they eat leavened bread when during Passover it's absolutely no leaven?
Well, you know, leaven is always a typology of sin.
Right. And Jesus was without sin. The unleavened bread from heaven who would take away the sins of the world.
So, leaven during Passover was never allowed per God.
Mm-hmm. However, on Pentecost, as a future picture of what Christ would do, the Jews would now eat leavened bread on this feast.
As a typology.
Yes, because approximately 1,400 years earlier, Christ would take our leaven, Christ would take our leaven into the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so, by Pentecost, sins were already paid for. Therefore, as a future New Testament picture, they could eat the leaven. By the way, prior to Jesus, their debt for sins had to be paid by the blood of an innocent, obviously sinless animal. Today, those who refuse to accept Jesus as the sinless lamb and make him Lord over their life has instead chosen to pay their own sin debt in hell.
That is so sad.
And that is why at Pentecost, they were to offer 2 loaves of leavened bread to represent that both Jews and Gentiles can be recipients of God's added grace.
Pentecost reinforces his promises to us.
It does, but some Bible teachers suggest, even though many were already saved, that Pentecost is officially the birth of the church, that perhaps the rapture might occur on a Pentecost some year. Except there's a problem with that. It has already been fulfilled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there are those of us who think that the rapture is more likely to occur on the next unfulfilled appointment, also historically on the anniversary of the creation of man, called Rosh Hashanah, meaning head of the year.
Also called the Feast of Trumpets.
Mm-hmm. But we don't know what year or which day or hour, because Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, and don't forget the many time zones in the world.
But we look for clues.
For sure, which today are numerous. But still the biggest clue will be at least serious discussions about dividing Jerusalem, where Israel will lose its sovereignty over at least the Temple Mount, to be made international for all faiths, which means Israel would lose control over God's most holiest place in all the earth. But they will go along with it for peace and to build their temple, as we know will happen because we have already read tomorrow's newspaper in Revelation 11. And there is another very important insight from Paul that the rapture will not be on a Pentecost, and he was very specific when he used the very common expression back then for Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpet in 1 Corinthians 15:51. He begins by first saying that he was about to reveal a mystery.
Meaning a fact they hadn't known yet.
Right. Not only will all be changed in a twinkling of an eye, but he even tells us when it will occur.
At the last trump.
That's such a huge clue, but usually missed when you haven't learned much of your Hebrew roots, customs, and common phrases of their day. And still in use, by the way, when Paul wrote his letters. There are 3 trumpet idioms or common expressions used in the first century, and they're attached to 3 major and specific feast days. There's the first trump, the last trump, which, by the way, is not the seventh trump of Revelation, just saying. And thirdly, the great trump.
Or shofar in Hebrew.
Yes. So, at the first Pentecost in Exodus 19, also called the Feast of Weeks in Leviticus 23, God gave Moses and the Israelites his Torah law and his promises if they would remain faithful to him. Only because they were amongst many false gods. So therefore, God then sounded for all of them to hear the very first shofar ever recorded in the Bible.
In Exodus 19.
Yes. Therefore, the expression first shofar became an idiom or another name for Pentecost when a betrothal oath covenant between God and his people was agreed to. And we read in Exodus 24, Moses confirms again that the people did answer by saying,
all the words that Yahweh has said, we will do.
Mm-hmm. It's the same with us. When we became born again, we entered into a betrothal agreement with Jesus. In Jewish law, the betrothment was legally binding except for adultery. In our case, spiritual adultery. In other words, by worshiping any other foreign god. And there were many of them then. And today, we have a lot as well. Because many worship money, power, control, etc. The last trump is also an idiom for a certain feast to celebrate all of creation, including man, again called Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets. Since Leviticus 23:24 says to have a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, therefore they would blow 100 shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah, and the last trumpet blown made their new year official. So this feast became known as the last trump. Again, Paul knew this when he wrote all this down for us to read centuries later, that the catching up will occur at the last trump. Read it over yourself. It's right there.
Yeah, it seems easy enough to understand for me.
Oh, it really is.
And then the great trump is blown on Yom Kippur.
It is. According to Leviticus 25, especially important in a Jubilee year, which will be blown when Jesus visibly returns in Revelation 19 on a Yom Kippur, a definite Jubilee year. How do we know that it's on Yom Kippur? Because Matthew 24:31 tells us that the trump will be blown.
Also, you can see it in Isaiah 27:13.
Yes, so anyhow, to say the resurrection slash rapture is on the day of the first trump on a Pentecost, when we have scripture saying it's the last trump, again, we should probably side with Paul. All right, so recapping. After Jesus' resurrection and being seen by many for 40 days, he was about to permanently ascend to heaven when he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem for 10 more days, because he would keep his fourth appointment of the seven by sending them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he will teach them all things, which is why Paul knew the catching away would be at the last trump. And because Paul, a type of Moses, right after his conversion, went to Mount Sinai in Arabia to learn from Jesus for 3 years, Galatians chapter 1. I must close with number 6. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.